Welcome again to Of Steam, Steel, and Murder. Session 11 is up, and this will be split into two parts. I had some computer problems over the weekend, and the first hour and a half of this session was almost lost, but Jameis luckily had a backup recording going. There will be a difference in the audio quality of this recording compared to our past episodes. Now, Session 11, Part 1.
And a new character, Alexander, how do you pronounce the last name? Babar?
Barba. I'm going for the easy pronunciation, even though I know that's wrong because it's actually Latin.
And what do you prefer to go by, Ben?
You can call me Ben, you can call me Hammer, you can call me Bod, if you want. For that is my initials.
Can I call you Al?
Sure, I don't care. I may not respond to you, though.
Right, well, last time we left off, we have Gavin. Actually, the whole group was invited to a impromptu gathering that's being given at the Broken Cog, which is Drina's favorite bar. And Gavin knows that both his two people that he's trying to get out of Metapol in one piece, Victor and Ilsa, have been invited to be guest speakers at this rally. Now, you guys had 5 days in between. I heard messages from some of you saying how you're training up, etc. But was there anything you wanted to resolve in game that needs rolls? I'll go ahead. We'll start with you, Marcus.
Yeah, I need to roll context to try and get a basically a briefcase type recording device that kind of is hidden in the briefcase style that can be turned on and off.
Okay.
Oops. Wait, why is it doing that?
Weird. Dude.
Two, so that's...
One, but it may be later than the 5 days you needed it.
Oh, let's see. 2, 4, 6, 8.
Ah, well. Your...
You handed one at your
at the pawn shop just happens to have something right up your alley. And, of course, he trades you for a few phone numbers. The last date you set up him up on went pretty well, but he wants to try some other numbers you might have. Thinks he can do better, being a fairly well-to-do shop owner, after all. A very legitimate business.
There's multiple aspects to his business, too.
Mm-hmm. So it's going to have, with that kind of success, we'll say it's going to have a 6-hour record time. And it's one of these old, metal reel recorders. You know, it uses a wire instead of actual magnetic tape. It's fairly bulky, but it fits into a standard size briefcase for this time. It's a little battered on the outside, leather. At one time, it was probably very, very nice, a businessman's type of briefcase with that had some status to it. It's actually got some initials on it stamped on the leather, JB. But compared to some of your wardrobe, it's not that shoddy. Little...
Hello?
Can you hear me?
You dropped out at the end of it. Compared to some of your wardrobe, it's not that shoddy.
I'm bouncing back and forth between two monitors and two different desks, so I'm trying to direct my speech at the microphone. There's actually some audio left on the wire reel recorder. It's mostly of a lot of heavy breathing. Well, there you go. Is there anything else that you wanted, that you needed to roll for or needed to do in game?
No, the rest of it would be just training and gathering information on... Oh, yeah, I was going to try and gather information on the old Ace Gang. I don't know if you want to roll for that.
Mm-hmm. If you wanted to just be doing it in the background, I'll float you some information on that. You up a whole heck of a lot other than the whole Ace Game gang is fairly new. They've only been around for 3 months or so. And unusually, they do draw a lot of attention to themselves. The fact that they leave calling cards behind is, it's not widely done by pirates who don't usually like to be known very well.
Obviously.
You also pick up the fact that some of their pilots, are remarkably good. There have been sightings, of aerial dogfights, in which case people were astounded at the airmanship shown, by some of the leaders in that gang.
In other words, probably ex-military.
Maybe. And Gavin, anything that you need to roll for or need to do in-game?
I want to find out a bit more about the rally. I probably wasn't paying any attention to.
I'm sorry. I didn't get you. You wanted to find more about what?
The rally that I wasn't paying attention to last time.
Okay. What you do know about it is, it's underground, but it's not too well hidden, nor is it strictly speaking illegal. You're fairly sure the guilds know about it, as do the police, but they're not making any moves to stop it. It is a rally for basically the disenfranchised and the people who really think that the guilds have, done them ill. But it's in an open format where they're more, it's a more of a intellectual discussion of what's going on as opposed to a hate-filled, you know, physically violent protest.
What's my premise here with Frickman Milton? Am I trying to get them out or I'm just trying to get passports to them?
Well, getting them the passports will definitely help. You've been asked to try and get them out of Metapol, which might be the harder of the two tasks.
Well, we've got options. We'll
get them out of Metapol, but whether or not they leave Metapol alive is the problem.
Well, we've got an airship or a jetpack. Oh, yeah, you're right. Damn it!
They're trying to get back to France.
And one other thing, the question is, where's Major Stresser staying?
You don't know that, actually. You want to try a roll to find out if you can dig up that information?
Yep.
He met you in the bar at Rick's, but exactly. you don't know where he's staying or much about him other than what we've gone over.
What am I rolling? Resources, contacts?
Contacts, resources, either one.
Actually, same. two.
Okay. As far as anyone knows, he is staying at the French Embassy. District 1, Metapol, contains basically all the embassies.
Because I'm betting that wherever Victor Nilsler goes, he's going to have a somewhat discreet contingent following. And I assume I've actually got the passports to give them at some point.
Yes, you do. You were given the passports. Sliding it to them without being observed, or I mean, you can be as blatant as you want, although you have been warned off by French Lions here that that would be ill-advised. Is there anything you want to set up?
I still think it'd be a lot easier if Drina was here. It really would be. We're fairly close to the dock. How close will we be to where the hospital collapsed?
Um, about 4, maybe 5 city blocks. Yeah, not terribly close.
Where's the closest, this is somewhat like that, where's the closest sewer entrance to the Broken Cog?
Closest sewer entrance is actually in the alley right behind the kitchen part of the cog.
I think I arranged for them to be picked up at the docks. I've got to get down to the sewer, get them up to the docks that way.
We do. They do. No, we don't have the person who owns the submarine.
Well, I can get arranged for someone else to pick them. It doesn't have to be us.
Oh, yeah. That works. That would actually work. Or you may know a guy who knows a guy who can help you. You can probably get the passports yourself, actually.
I've got the passports. Well, it won't be me giving to them. In fact, the point about me is that I'm going to have to be somewhere conspicuous that he knows where I am that isn't exactly where they are. Because I reckon he's going to be keeping an eye. If he knows I'm around, he'll be keeping an eye on me as well.
Yeah.
I believe we may need to have a pub fight breakout. This is the quickest, easiest way.
In a pub where most of the clientele carry heavy wrenches, this ought to be...
Yeah, see, this is why it would be a lot easier. If Serena was here, that she could make those sort of things happen a lot simpler.
Yes. I'll probably be back in one of the corners. I don't want to start a fight.
Have we actually met Barter? Baba, is he with us? As such?
No, not at this point.
So we don't know he's around. We don't know we can make use of it as a legal.
Hey, there's this one random guy I know.
Hey, if you start a bar fight, probably I'll exist at that point.
If you wanted to pull someone in as a contact, I mean, you could do that. I mean, that's up to you. I've got an entry point for Ben into the campaign, but if you're trying to round up a contact to help you out in this, you can.
No, it's just that if he was there, I would have tried to bring him in, but I wouldn't bring him in specifically for this thing.
Yeah.
I mean, if we knew he was around, we'd make use of him. But I don't have a specific reason to bring them in.
No. You can probably use the sewer like you wanted to and just have them go that way. Just hire a boat, and since you already have the passports, why don't you just have someone give them the passwords, like have the passports kind of in the sewer already, stuck in there.
I can't even talk to them at the moment without the French stopping me. So someone is going to have to get to them and get them out there. And guess who I'm looking at this point? While we're actually in the fight and get them to follow them.
Yeah.
Which may well be you.
Protect my briefcase. It's worth more than I am.
Actually, give me an alertness roll there, Jameis.
I've noticed nothing.
Right. Well, either did they. So you get the idea in the intervening days and during that 5-day span where you're mulling this over and thinking about it, you have the feeling that you are being tailed, but you have yet to spot anyone following you. You just
I'm pretty much expecting it.
So, but you haven't made your tails. You haven't actually made contact or seen them.
It's all right. I've got... I know in the broad plan what I'd like to have happen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much we can... See, I don't know how detailed you want to go with this rally in some ways. How much of a thing you want to make it.
Well, at this point when you're mulling this over, is Bishop with you? Are you guys discussing this, or is this just something that Gaben's going over in his head?
I think I'll have to discuss some things with him. I'm not sure where, because Drina's garage is...
Well, we'll just be at Drina's garage. She's busy.
Yeah. Drina is actually, she's been called away. One of her eldest is sick at the moment, and she's checking on him. But she's given you used to her garage and the special clock room.
I kind of, you know, play with my briefcase a little bit and say, don't do anything. I need to check something. And I test this one to see if it actually will set it off.
And if you turn on the recorder, the little bird comes out of the clock and starts chirping.
Okay, I turn it off.
So you have a recording device in the briefcase.
Yes, that's why you need to make sure it stays in one piece in the fight, if there is a fight.
What I am, my current plan is that I'll be needing you here.
What was that?
Was that we arranged for a fight to break out. You lead them out the back, down to the sewers, and I'll arrange for transport away from the Dockland area. And you can pass it while I am at Rick's Cafe, being very obvious about attempting to get into their rooms.
That makes perfect sense.
That way, I can, I'll be obviously, and we also have a plan B for getting them passports if they don't manage to get out in the bar fight.
Yes, but we need to figure out how we're going to arrange the bar fight. I don't want to just throw a punch
We need them to be safe while the bar fight provides enough cover. I suspect starting a bar fight won't be the hard, but controlling it would be the more important point.
What'd you say about my mother? Quack!
Yeah, do you know any sort of patrons that often go there?
I probably know a few people.
Likely, Adrian, I can you there often enough.
I probably know enough.
It'll be also good to somehow get a message about to Victor Nilza, but I'm not. It will not be easy. Well, I will not be able to do it. I suspect they're keeping an eye on me.
Do you know if they're keeping an eye on them?
Yes. I suspect that as well. Hence, it will not be simple. In fact, they may actually have, well, I don't know if they'll go as far as having people at the back door of the cafe, of the bar.
And we'll just have a couple people who deal with that.
Well, yes, if we do have the bar patrons on our side, I'm sure. And considering that these two are celebrities, we'll probably have quite a not impossible time convincing them to help us.
I like Ben's solution. Just throw a chair, that always starts a fight.
Now, if you want true fighting words, let's have a fight. Dim's fighting words.
Sorry, that's a Boondocks reference.
This sounds like you have a plan.
But we will need to talk to arrange this with the bar patrons.
I can probably, can I just make a contact, or what type of role do you want?
You've been introduced to McNally before.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know him.
Okay, so kind of a rapport role?
Right.
Maybe we go talk to him as well?
Yeah, that's why I was thinking, talk to him and kind of convince him, have a private conversation.
Although sure. It was probably best if I wasn't there, I'm thinking.
Yeah, I figured that out.
Want to associate this as much as possible. I mean, they may already, since they have me under trail, they may also be, well, they'll probably also suspect this place and the people I associate with. But I am the main suspicion at the moment.
Yeah. They're probably watching us right now. Well, if we didn't have walls between us, but they'd probably be watching us. So I'll go talk to, what is his name, McNally or McNally? McAlley?
McNally.
Nally.
As in
Sure, and I'm you're doing this before the day of the rally?
Yes. No, I'm going to go and, hey, I need you to start a fight later today.
One thing I'd like to establish for me that is just which rooms in Rook's Cafe area are they actually staying in, just so I know.
Sure, that would have been easy enough. They're on the third floor. They've got their own balcony. I'm going to assume this is part of your information gathering beforehand.
Yeah, excuse me. So I know which rooms to go for. All right.
Balcony faces over a wide, well-lit alley, but opposite that balcony is a brick-facing wall with one window in it. It's actually a factory that's been closed down. Theirs is not the only balcony on that side, though.
That one window looking out is completely not suspicious.
Not at all like a setup for various things at all, no.
It's not a small window either. It's one of the wide ones that they used.
Does the glass look a little broken?
Oh, the glass is broken, and there at one time would be like an industrial fan there to pull air out, and that's been removed. Suspiciously, McNally's got this large industrial fan on the ceiling that blows air into the bar.
Why do I imagine that someone's just going to jump through across the balcony to the window?
So, a second set of passports?
I'm sorry, say that again, Jameis.
Can I get a second set of passports?
They've only got the two they can give you. If you want to try and get more, well, give me a contact or a resources roll. They'll have to scrounge for it at the office.
All right, let's see if we can do this. As I said, I might need backups.
Oh, and by the way, this is actually following under your this is your job. I mean, this is part of your actual job.
That's a four at least, but even without it.
They can scrounge up two more. It'll take a few days, but this would still be before the rally.
Yep, that's fine. I need it for the day of the rally beforehand. It's just, well, I've got it sitting around there. So that's more than fine.
And you were chastised that this is going to severely impact the budget for the coming quarter. Given these up on priests, you know.
We're a government agency. We don't have a budget.
They have tightly controlled budgets.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't worry. So, the government loses lots of money. They can just take some of the lost money here and put it there.
So you head over to McNally's. Just you, Bishop. Give me an alertness roll.
Two.
You might make a place of danger.
You do notice a bumbling attempts of one guy that's actually trying to follow you. He's loose. You kind of get the idea that he wasn't so much watching you as he was watching Drina's place as you left.
I kind of just head towards the bar. Like I'm guessing I've done it multiple times where I've gone to the bar after going to Drina's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Drina's not there. Might as well check in, see where she is.
Sure. The guy doesn't actually seem to be following you. You just noticed that he was taking particular interest in you as you left Drina's. Coming to McNally's, this is middle of the day?
Yeah.
Okay. He's got a few patrons sitting around, mostly playing darts. If you want to go to the Broken Cog map, you can take a look at the bar.
Pretty. I should probably copy my...
Copy your token and just... splat him on there.
Copy. Based.
Oh, he's got gray aliens in there, too.
Yeah. Shrink your token a bit.
I don't think it can. Oh, wait, yeah, it can.
Ben, it's up to you. You could have been checking out the bar beforehand if you want, or you could simply show up on the night of the rally. I'll leave that to you. But if you wish to get people in the corner.
I think I'm going to be there on the day of.
Okay.
What the? There's an alien in here?
That's McNally, actually.
So he's just a little strange?
He's a little strange. Actually, McNally is kind of is on the short side. He barely reaches 5'2", but he's about as wide as he is tall. He's got this flame red beard, large hand.
Dwarf. I was going to say.
He has no hair on his head, so he always wears this cap that's seen better days. It's always soiled and smelling of, like, fry cooking oil. Never seems to clean it. You walk in, and he's just minding the bar. Very few patrons around. The three kind of the aisles you see at the top there, those three aisles, those are dart lanes.
Uh-huh.
A couple of people drinking beers and just throwing darts right now.
Ah!
Yeah. He gives you the nod as you walk in. He lines up a pitcher of beer and pours you one. On the table to you. Says, Adrina not with you today.
No, can't seem to find her. You hear anything where she's been?
I heard one of her kids had an accident and she went to visit. He pulls out a dirty bowl, kind of wipes it down with his aprons. He throws some what looks like petrified pretzels into it.
Hey, McNally, I kind of look to make sure no one's coming in, kind of look at the patrons. They're normal people who are there.
The guys that are throwing darts are a little on the youngy side. In the middle of the day, it's kind of odd that they're not at work. You don't recall seeing them in here before, but they look the type. They got the oil-stained clothing, very thick, thick clothing. One of them has a leather apron on. So they definitely look the type to be in this bar. It's just kind of odd in the middle of the day they're not actually working on something. Could be a break, though. You're mildly suspicious because you're mildly paranoid.
I'm not. I see Harris at work here. No, I look at, I kind of lean in with McNally and go, can I talk to you a little bit something in a more private setting?
Around the bar, and the guys are still throwing darts. He pours a couple more beers, slides them down the bar so that they could get them. Said, I think they'll keep. Sure. Takes you into the kitchen. There's nobody working right now, so you're alone in the kitchen.
Yeah.
What do I do for a friend of Drina?
Well, you know the rally that's going to be happening in a couple days, few days.
Suppose I do. Suppose I don't. Kind of looks you over. He knows that you work for the guild, as does Drina.
Ah. Well, there's two guest speakers. I give the name of the two people. I don't remember. I didn't write it. Vincent and what was his name? Vincent and...
It's Ilsa.
Elsa.
And Victor.
Oh, Elsa and Victor. Sorry. Victor.
Oh, yeah. They happen to be in town. They might happen to be in town if we were having a rally.
Yes, and if they were supposedly speaking, they might want to, you know, go somewhere else. And if, you know, somewhere towards near the end after they've done their speaking, a fight might break out and they might be able to sneak out the back and go into the sewers to escape the city.
Kind of holds up his hand and shakes him and says, oh, now there, buddy, we're going to have enough attention on this place for a fight to break out. We don't want any reason for the cops to come in here. He looks at you and punctuates his sentence with his big stubby finger. Any reason.
Well, then maybe you can help me. I'm trying to, we're trying to get these supposed speakers who are going to be here. They might, you know, hypothetically might want to get out of town, you know, get back to, you know, maybe somewhere like France. You know, they might want to go there, but we kind of, you know, they're not very happy. The French don't really like them, and, you know, maybe they want to, you know, get there and kind of get out of this place secretly. And, well, I thought a fight might work, but fight obviously don't work. Do you have any hypothetical ideas on how they could leave?
Well, hypothetically speaking, if these two persons who are much loved by the people that are going to be gathering here in a couple of nights, if it was kind of letting known that they were trying to slip out of the city, I'm sure a distraction or a diversion can take place that won't get us all busted.
That would be very good.
He takes you to the back of the kitchen, and there's like an old wood lead-lined ice box there, and kind of grunts a bit as he slides it out of the way, and you notice underneath there's a steel trapdoor. He opens it up and says, quick escape route down into the sewers. Had to use it a few times.
Thank you.
I say a thing.
Mm-hmm. And thank you. I may be back later with just to give you a few bits of paperwork they may need. You know what I mean. And thank you. Now, this is a great... I hope that none of this hypotheticals... Never mind. I hope... hypothetically speaking, I am very grateful for this.
Might be, if you need to pass these folks some documents, that player piano out there, and he kind of cranes his head out to the front. You did notice there's a player piano kind of near the front door there.
Mm-hmm.
A good place to slide in some documents. No one touches that thing anyway.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
That way no one's got to touch anything that they shouldn't be in possession of.
Mm-hmm. I understand completely. Thank you. Thank you, McNally. This conversation never happened.
Pushes the ice chest back over the trap door. He kind of sweeps some dust back over it so it doesn't look like it's been moved too much. And says, yep. Heads back out into the bar.
I kind of head out and I nod and leave.
Give me an alertness roll.
4. +2 if it's danger sense.
You're about a block away. When you just happen to notice McNally's front door opens and one of the guys that was throwing darts kind of sidles out, pulls a cap down over his eyes and just kind of starts, he's not walking like behind you, but he's kind of across the street, parallel to you and slightly behind you.
This isn't suspicious at all.
He's actually doing a fairly good job. If you hadn't been, kind of watching for it, you think that, well, you don't know. I mean, could have legitimate business, but you're just being a little paranoid right now, so.
Well, I'll make a couple of sharp turns and, you know, at certain points where I just make a turn and, like, go right when he's on the opposite side of the street and then immediately go in an alley, etc. You know, since I probably know this area pretty well, kind of try to lose him.
As soon as you make your first turn, you notice he didn't follow you.
Okay. I look around for anyone else that he might be working with, anyone he kind of looked at as he walked.
Seems to be a normal day. Middle of the afternoon like this, most people are working. And there's very few people on the streets right now at all.
Okay, then I'm gonna just head home.
Mm-hmm.
Take the normal route, whatever that is. And call Gavin to meet up again later so I can tell him how it went.
Where do you call Gavin? At his home, at his work, or at Drina's?
I first try Drina's, then I try work, and then I try home.
Unless you have planned on staying there otherwise, Gavin is not at, Drina's. You get a secretary at work who doesn't know if Mr. Gavin's been in today or not, and you get a very cool impression that she doesn't care to look for him. And if you call at home, Well, I guess it just rings unless Gavin wants to be at home. You're not calling your answering machine.
I wasn't going to say that. I wasn't going to prompt him.
Oh, no, I wasn't calling the answering machine because I figured I'd do that afterward, after I contacted him. I figured I'd call it to check messages.
You can leave a message with the secretary that you get a hold of at his work, but neither Drina's nor Gavin's has an answering machine of any sort.
Then I'll call our answering machine, check Drina for messages.
Kind of does. It'll be one of her kids that answers the phone.
Yeah, you'll hear one of her Drina's youngest saying that Rat Face Man isn't here.
I'll call our actually answering machine, check for any messages, and then leave a message for him that kind of leave a message saying that we should meet later at Drina's at this time tomorrow.
Sure enough. All right. Jameis, were you going to try and arrange anything?
Yeah. I have to, well, what I ticked, what I emailed you.
Mm-hmm.
I have to get that set up.
I keep a contacts roll, actually.
This I'll be spending a chip or two on, I suspect, because I need this to happen. Otherwise, that's pretty pointless. Oh, that's a 4 at least. I don't know what else comes into play. My stun mod.
Right, remember, don't feel that you have to blow chips on anything. Just getting a 1 is a success of sorts, so.
Yeah, don't but feel I want a good success, though.
Alright.
So would my stun count?
Yes, it would.
Probably. Probably.
I hear you.
Just getting a bit of feedback.
I just sent it to you as a message there.
Hey, the alien has a gun.
At a place called the Broken Cog, I would kind of expect the proprietor to have a gun.
No, I wouldn't expect him to have a gun. I'd expect him to have a taser. Although he... No, no.
No,
this
you
is the 8th District. He's got to have a gun somewhere hidden.
He'll have a stick with a nail in it.
Oh, yeah. All
right. So, if you have no other plans that you're going to do, we'll move to the night of the rally.
We did meet again, and I told you what you needed to do.
I suspect that, that's happened.
Okay.
I'll give you two of the passports to pass over to preferably hand them to Victor and Isla yourself and lead them out from the sewer yourself. I tell you, I've got a with Mr. White, I've got something set up at the docks.
Mm-hmm.
You both arranged to meet back at Drina's?
Sure.
Okay. You both notice coming in at different times that it appears that Drina's is being staked out by at least 2 different people.
Hey. 2 different groups of people or just 2 guys?
Different guys, yeah.
Drina's is getting a little bit hot and she won't thank us for it.
Yeah. Well, maybe they'll get new business. Either that or the kids will drive them away saying, "You're not buying! You're not buying!"
All right. Well,
no,
you have
Drina's. All right.
No, that's right. You have your conversation. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, no.
One of you start talking.
Okay. What would you like me to say?
All right. So you finish up your talking then, and if you don't have anything else you're wanting to plan or try, we can move on to the night of.
You say that like you expect us to come up with something.
Yes.
No. There are just some things you might want to do before then. Might not.
That sounds like you expect us to come up with something.
Yes. Maybe. Well, we've got a distraction. Maybe we want to contact them and tell them we're going to get them out.
The thing is, I'm not sure. Oh, yes, I am. I can go with the plan I was thinking of. Again, it would be a lot easier if Drina was here.
One thing in
she's already established some of the contacts. What I'm thinking is that we get a lot of kids playing around here, especially around Drina's. What we do is we get some of the kids to play around where those guys in the shadow are, but we also get kids to be playing where Victor and Ilsa actually do go out in the city. They're not, you know, locked away or anything. So we get one of them to slip a message to them as the young scamps go scampering past them.
That works.
You could do that.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
You can call them Drina Street Irregulars.
She apparently feeds a lot of them, so they're in and out her place quite often.
Yeah, exactly. So I think we should try and get something like that set up, and that way we can pass something to Victor Nuzza, as well as get these guys distracted when we come and go, so they won't get a chance to follow us as easily.
Yes.
All right. So you round up these scamp irregulars.
Yep.
Now, the other thing I was mentioning or wanted to know about since you mentioned it was, are you going to try and get the passports into McNally's before that night, or are you going to try and slip it in that night?
I was assuming that Daniel was going to be there.
Yeah, I figured I was probably going to just...
I prefer Daniel to hand them to Victor and Ilsa and be there with them so they have a guide who knows what's going on and someone I can trust to take care of it.
Mm-hmm. All right. So Daniel's going to be there. Bishop's going to be there. Where are you going to be?
Yeah, I'm going to be at Red's Cafe looking, at least trying to get into their rooms to plant some passports there as a plan B, and also to say, oh, look, I'm over here. I'm nowhere near the bar when it goes down.
All right. And we'll move along to that night then if you're done with your plotting. And, yes, you can enlist the aid of the children. Although one of you give me a roll to see how well you can get them to follow instructions.
Does first impressions count?
Yes.
I forgot. What did the specialty do to your skill?
It's just you don't have to spend a chip to get a +2 to a roll.
Okay, I don't have to spend a +2, that's a 6.
Oh yeah, good enough. You've been around quite often. You probably enjoy Drina's dinner more than once with some of these kids around the table, so they like your stories. They also like that you mostly dress like them too.
Whereas the red face man probably tricks them out of it.
Hey, I'm also the one who helps some of those homeless kids because I go by that shelter and bring clothes, etc. I help the community. My bonuses goes towards the community.
Well, so we'll set up then, Gavin. You're at Cafe Rick's Cafe.
Yep.
Before the event scheduled to take place, I imagine you walk in. Rick's is an interesting place. You get a lot of foreign nationals here. And they cater to beverages and foods of international scope, so a lot of people come here for a taste of home. They have multi-ethnic cooks in the back that are quite good at making these dishes. The Rick's is actually slow tonight. It's usually much more full of people at this time of day. There's still plenty around. Including two people that are in full French Guard uniform. They're younger. They look like they're maybe in their mid-20s. And playing just a game of cards at a table. And they're sharing a bottle of spirits of some sort.
And just so you know, my plan is to sneak upstairs, but if I get followed, I'm not going to be too worried about it. I am the obvious thing that's going on.
The Rick's actually not here tonight either. One of his stand-in bartenders is behind the bar. He seems to be a little bored. Tips aren't coming very fast. There's so few customers around. Seems to be involved in playing a game of chess with an older man at the end of the bar. No one seems to be paying particular attention to you.
That's fine. I mean, if it works, then I've got a good plan B in place for when, if the plan A doesn't work.
And we'll flip over to the broken cog. Ben, if you want to throw copy and paste your icon in there.
My out of place icon.
Not at all.
That worked just fine. I imagine you guys get there a little bit before the rally's due to begin. Actually, much earlier than normal. This is about 9 o'clock in the evening. McNally goes around to the front door and turns his sign over so that it says closed. And turns the lights off at the very front of the establishment, but leaves the one towards the back on.
Mm-hmm.
And the next few minutes, people start filtering in. They just kind of open the door and start walking in. McNally's lined up several beers on the bar, doesn't seem to be charging anyone for anything. And within the next half hour, you've got a good 30, 35 people just kind of packed into the bar.
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing the door near my icon is the one that goes back to the kitchen?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Just making sure.
You mean they don't put the rug in front of the kitchen door?
That's the entrance, yes. People are just kind of talking quietly in groups, and one person is going around, and he's handing out a thin booklet to people out of a big box. And after a while, he gets tired of just circulating through the crowd, so he just lays the box on one of the tables, and people just come by and start pulling the books out.
Mm-hmm. I make sure I get one.
Is it listening?
Yeah, same here.
Give me just 1 second, guys.
Echo. Oh. Communist Manifesto.
The book is actually entitled The Wealth of Nations by the author Adam Smith.
Ooh. Watch his invisible hand come out and slap you on the ass.
And Bishop, you can give me a contacts roll, as can you, Ben.
I have no contacts.
Well, you have
five.
So it's just a base roll.
Oh, not bad.
Yeah. Five.
Two.
All right. Actually, a two is enough. You both notice each other in the crowd. As since both hold contracts with the guild, you have seen each other at least at a previous meeting. Actually, we'll do it this way. If you think, if Bishop thinks back to the first incident on Pasternak's above the city where they were getting their yearly recommission for the guild contract, this guy sitting across from in the table here was one of the people that was also there.
Hey, look, it's a fellow PC.
There's something about you that makes me think you're important. I should use you for the plan.
Well, more important, you know that he is under guild contract to do troubleshooting.
He probably remembered me because I was the only one at the guild function with a bloodied shirt.
Not necessarily.
Actually.
No. Not really. I got some blood on my shirt.
No, we're not talking song. We're talking live.
As you guys are noticing one another, the area is kind of cleared out around where the dart lanes are, and McNally's brought out literally a soapbox for someone to stand on. And youngish man in his early 30s, well-dressed, looks like he's a crafter of some sort for the fact that he has a tool belt on, with various small tools on. I figure he probably works with either gold, silver, or jewelry of some sort. He takes the soapbox and calls for everyone's attention. Well, folks, hope everyone's gotten a copy of Mr. Smith's new book there. It gives a fabulous breakdown of why we believe the guild control over the trades needs to be abolished. And there's a round of applause. Tonight, I know you all are waiting to hear from Mr. Laszlo and his wonderful wife, Ilsa. And there, well, he seems to be very nervous as he's speaking. And their struggles to bring about such change to their native soil. Well, they'll be here shortly. We're hoping nothing's held them up. But in the meantime, he starts going into what appears to be old ground that's been discussed a lot amongst the people that are here, talking about how the guilds hinder trade and technology improvement, how business development is stifled by the guilds. They drop a couple of names which you guys have heard. Well, Bishop, you've heard in the past. Jean-Jacques Rousseau, and of course Adam Smith, the writer of the book. They're kind of spearheading the movement to try and get the guild way of sponsorship to be abolished. Now, they're doing it in a nonviolent way, just trying to enlighten people about the problems that come about with the guilds. There's some inflammatory remarks that are brought towards the end about how it's widely known that the guilds have actually prolonged the war, the world war that's going on, because it's to their benefit that this happens. And that brings about some mumbling in the crowd. In all, it speaks for maybe a good half hour before there's a commotion at the door, and Victor and Ilsa are escorted in. They're both, like, heavily clothed in these very, like, very overly large trench coats, like fog coats. And it is night now, so it is very dark outside. The normal metapole fog kind of rolls in the door as they come in. They're being hastened in by a group of three people who look are looking very furtive. They're, like, they're looking behind them. Two of them actually stay at the door as Victor and Ilsa come in. And there's a round of applause in the establishment. McNally sits out fresh new mugs of beer. And they spend some time just kind of conversing with people in the crowd. They're not taking the stage just yet. Just kind of pressing the flesh, handshaking here and there.
I'm going to slowly make my way over to Gavin. And a nonchalant as possible.
Yeah. Who are you going to?
Gavin's not there. Bishop.
Getting characters confused again. Bishop, sorry.
I nod towards you as you come towards my area of the bar.
I'm going to kind of slide him my card.
I read his card.
It's just my business card. It's our Alexander Barba, MD.
They do haircuts as well as doctors. They used to. That's the point of the barber pole.
Mm-hmm. Actually, that's I mentioned it's Latin. It's Latin that the origin for barber is because he used to be barber surgeon. And now you know how I got my last name.
Leech!
Ooh, that's advanced technology, that is. That's like a comeback. Anyway, back to you.
Alright, so, by the way, I make sure, because I'm guessing we got a message, I make sure to kind of give Elsa and Victor, I kind of get their attention and kind of nod towards them, like, eye contact-wise. And I, you know, since they know the plan, somewhat.
And let's see if I can get this right. They know of the plan because some children gave them a note?
Yep.
Was that how you managed it?
Yep.
Yep.
What could possibly go wrong?
So, have you been doing any more high flying lately?
Not lately. I've luckily been able to stay on the ground.
Oh, so keeping yourself grounded, I see.
Yes, and remember the rules. We mustn't speak too much of this openly for obvious reasons, sir. And now let us just listen. This is fun conversation. Let's listen to them.
Victor, actually, when you do catch his eye, he sort of nods at you, but you don't know if it was any more than he's been nodding at the rest of the crowd around him or not.
Can I roll empathy to see if he knows anything?
You can give me an empathy roll. Go ahead.
Empathy. That's a 5.
Okay, well, either he's a real cool customer and is used to this cloak and dagger stuff, or he has no idea who you are.
Oh, shit. I'm going to guess he doesn't know anything. I'm gonna kinda go over them and make sure I introduce myself.
Sure. You kinda get in an informal line of people that are kinda waiting to shake hands with Victor. Ilsa, by the way, Victor has taken off his coat and he's got this incredibly white, it's almost like a blinding white suit on. It's immaculately clean, it's well tailored.
Oh god.
Ilsa is kind of staying in her trench coat and is trying to attract as little attention to her as possible. You get catch glimpses of her face every now and then, and she would be a very hard woman to not notice. She's incredibly beautiful. She's probably in her mid-30s, high cheekbones, just these clear blue eyes, and that's really all you can see of her, but she's really trying to keep herself not conspicuous. But you would never forget that face.
In your dreams at night, it will come back to you.
So you do kind of queue up in this line around him of people that are just kind of well-wishing him and shaking his hand. Apparently there are a lot of French expatriates in the crowd who speak to him briefly in French, which he seems to have a very good command of the language. He is not French. And you do come up to him, and he extends his hand to you.
I shake it, look him in the eye, and I go, "Yes, it's an honor to meet you, Victor. We have a mutual friend, one named Gavin, and I hope when you depart, you understand what will happen." I kind of see if there's any recognition in his face.
He looks at you, his smile that he's had on his face, it seemed to be very genuine. You get the idea, it's kind of frozen in place now. He's very much faking it with you. Where he kind of says under his breath, "I didn't realize the Gestapo could be found even here."
No, I kind of shake my head like, oh, I kind of. Oh, God.
Yeah, he doesn't make a lot of commotion over it as he just goes to the next person.
I kind of go back to my chair and wonder, what does he mean by that?
But, like, as soon as Victor turns his back, Ilsa kind of interposes herself just as you're about to leave, and she puts her hand forward.
Generally, I slip out the passports and give it to her. Actually, I shake her hand.
You do what you do.
I know.
Looks very certain into your face, and she says, "The children in Metapole are very, very fine here. Very intelligent young men."
Yes, they are.
She kind of looks at you. Okay. She makes kind of like a knowing look at you for just a moment, and then she turns back to follow her husband.
Okay. I go back to my seat and start having a nice, distracting conversation with Alexander. Now, Alexander, do you mind if I call you Alex?
Ben,
you were saying, Bert.
Yeah, I'm going to need a roll for that. Let's see, empathy would be what we're going for here.
Yeah, that's at a, that's what I rolled before you even asked. It's at a zero.
At zero, you don't really notice the exchange then.
Okay. What did you say, Bishop?
Oh, it's nice to meet you, Alexander. Do you mind if I call you Alex?
Yeah, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel we need to be on professional terms, so.
No.
Call me doctor.
Sorry, I can't call you doctor because I know another doctor, and I feel it'd be an insult to his heritage if I called you doctor.
No. Victor takes. It also does as well, but it's clear that the focus is on Victor, and you start to speak, and he has this very rich voice. It's got an accent you can't quite make. Alexander can. Bishop, you're not worldly wise. really make it out. You would say Slavic, maybe. Hard for you to pinpoint. He is an expert spokesman. I mean, he's able to display the crowd, but you can kind of tell in the way that Bishop normally handles people. This guy is able to handle an entire crowd in the same way. He's able to make them feel an emotion that he wants them to feel. And he's speaking a lot about the guilds, but it kind of also goes into he's planting a suspicion that the guilds not only are prolonging the war that is going on, but they are giving technologies to one side or another so that no one has a particular upper hand. So not just drawn out, but they're implicitly making sure that no one gets a toehold over anyone else. And he speaks a little bit about the travesties he's seen in France, where the genetic engineering has gotten to the point where their soldiers are no longer men. He uses the expression that they're heartless monsters that know nothing but what their masters tell them to know. And he is able to make the crowd feel like, you know, outraged. Both of you guys, give me discipline rolls.
Ooh. Oh, dear.
Oh, just a one.
I've got a one.
All right. That's going to make an eight for him. You guys are taking right along with it. I mean, he is a masterful spokesman. I mean, you, just right on cue, you guys feel the anger, you feel the pity, you know, right on cue when he wants you to feel it. And, an hour goes by and you really don't even notice, you're so drawn in by his speech. So here's what I want you guys to do. Whatever your total roll was.
Mm-hmm.
It's, track that from six, and then give me an alertness roll with that as a minus.
Okay, you're done.
Danger sense?
Danger sense would help here.
Good, then I'm at base roll. I got a zero.
Yeah, I didn't see it, whatever it was. I got the negative.
I'm actually going to spend a chip. Mm-hmm. I just got to figure out what I'm tapping.
Davey Harris?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I've been to dark places. I know that I need to pay attention for this, even though he's really good speaker. I know I need to pay attention. So I have a total of two.
Okay, that's good. What did you end up with?
Eight.
I'm sorry, what did Alex end up with?
Negative five.
Okay, Alex, you're pretty much on in unless you want to also spin an aspect for a reroll or something.
Even at a reroll, the most I could get is a negative one.
Okay. Yeah, so you're just very, very taken in with it. Bishop, you barely noticed that during his during Victor's speech where, you know, the whole room is quiet. I mean, no one's talking amongst themselves. We're all very focused on Victor, that the door opens and another guy dressed very much like everyone else in this room has kind of walked in and is standing in the back.
I kind of start watching him. Is it that kid from earlier?
No. His face seems to be covered up with a scarf, and he's got like a thick felt derby that's pulled down over his eyes, so you really can't make out his features at all, other than he's tall. He's in the 6'2", 6'3", range, somewhere in there. And he's wearing workers' clothes, but they seem to flow very well around him. Like, they're not tight. They don't seem to bind on him at all.
Why do I have imagined that Jameis is saying whatever? Oh, okay, no. I figured Jameis would be saying something else while I'm thinking. No,
I'm just thinking about what I'm doing.
I kind of pay attention to him, see what he's doing.
He's making his way through the crowd to get closer up front. He's not making a lot of waves. I mean, he seems to be able... He's passing people without really jostling them. He's doing really good crowd work where...
I'm going to start moving over.
All right. Ben, if you want to give me an alertness roll, or Alex, if Alex wants to give me an alertness roll there.
Yeah, I still don't think I'm at that mind.
No, you're not. This is just sort of at normal. Victor's winding down his speech, so you know you're just kind of snapping out of it a little more.
Let's see, do I want to see this? I'll just sit there and close this. I'm at a zero.
Okay, well, if you're at a zero, you're no longer enthralled. You can act normal. You don't have any negatives to you or anything, but you're not quite noticing what's going on with Bishop, who seems to have.
I'm also getting my taser. I'm kind of, you know, just in case, because this guy seems a little suspicious. Maybe he's here for bad reasons, so I'm going to kind of keep myself ready for action just in case he does something weird.
So you're doing what with your taser?
I'm keeping it on my side, but I'm kind of, you know, I'm kind of at the ready to grab it and fire if I need to.
Yo, cowboy tricker, just unclicking the
The two guys spotted here that were near the front door and kind of guarding it, seem to notice you. And they're kind of pushing people out of the crowd, and they're making themselves very conspicuous as they're heading straight to you. And one of them, you know, as he's kind of pushing aside very forcibly, one of the people in front of him yells out to the crowd, "He's got a gun!"
Oh, I get it. Wait, did they yell? I kind of moved this
I'm
way.
I'm not sure.
I'm moving away.
Can you put Victor on as a token, please? Victor, just so we can be there. Yeah.
All right, Victor's pulled down by some of the people around him in the crowd who just kind of are covering him up with their bodies. People seem to have ignored Ilso. He's just kind of standing there, kind of dazed looking. Bishop, you see that the guy that came in from the back, now that the crowd seems to be focused on you, has gotten within the first ranks of the people right up near Victor.
I just stand there wondering, what the hell? I look over at McNally.
Alex, you see what's going on now, and you see that the crowd seems to be converging on this guy that you just met, who you vaguely remember from a guild meeting, and they seem to think that he's armed.
Do I notice a stranger, or
no,
just noticing?
You didn't notice a stranger at all.
Oh, I look over at McNally. Am I getting the hint that this is supposed to be the real distraction?
McNally just kind of looks, you know, he's got this puzzled look on his face. He's actually to let you go. He's like, kind of like pulling at the arms of one of the guys that's kind of is coming near you to try and pull you down.
I don't know. I'm just going to sit watch Bishop because I don't know anything.
I'm not doing anything. I'm just kind of like, what?
Don't resist them. They're going to pull you to the ground and basically patting you down trying to find a gun. And if you're not resisting, one of them does find your gun and holds it aloft and says, he's armed!
My taser?
Yes.
Oh, God. What about the other guy who is kind of moving towards the front?
You're trying to keep an eye on him?
Yeah.
Well, give me an alertness roll. It's kind of hard to track because there's so many people surrounding you and kind of dogpiling.
I don't see anything. I got a zero. All right. So unless danger sense applies, no.
Okay.
Character the one.
It's suddenly, you know, everyone's kind of focused on you there people seem to think that you're trying to kill Victor when there's a very high feminine scream coming from where the dart lanes were. And you see Victor is being pulled away by a couple of guys down. They're trying to get him out through the kitchen. And there's this tall guy that his derby's been knocked aside, and you see that his face is kind of wrapped up in a scarf, and his forearm and hand have been kind of shoved into the front of Ilsa, and there's like a split. There's this spreading blood across the front of her coat, and he withdraws his arm, and it's got this about a foot long blade attached to it.
I point at him and say, "Assassin."
All right, now I have something I want to do.
And I try to grab my give me my taser back. And I kind of yell at him, "That's the assassin! Give me my taser!"
Yeah, in a minute I'm going to have you roll. You're going to do a social conflict with the crowd to see if you can convince them to let you go, or whether they're going to think you're part of what's going on. Meanwhile, what is Alex doing? And Alex, full scene. You did see this. That's going on at the front with Ilsa.
Alex grabs his doctor bag, produces a small canister from it, and attaches it to his doctor bag, and then chucks it at the guy.
Nice. Okay, give me an athletics roll and see if you're on target.
That's not the greatest roll. That would put it at a 3, unless I want to spend more, and...
We'll go over this real quick. If you just rolled a 1, you would succeed, but the area was a little bit larger than you intended, so you catch more people in it. With a 3, you're pretty much spot on, but you're gonna catch, you'll probably catch Ilsa and one other person in the gas range with a 3.
Actually, I don't care how many I catch, because actually clearing people out and knocking them unconscious would be perfectly fine with me, because that means I can get to her faster.
Okay, that's fine. The result of it, this cylinder comes sailing out from the doctor's bag. Or do you throw it? Is it projected or are you throwing it?
I just have to attach it to put the gas in there, and then I chuck it.
So this metal cylinder comes arcing through the crowd and lands at the feet of this person bent on assassination, and it is kind of there's a small explosion and a puff of gas and smoke come pouring out of it. Ilsa immediately goes down. As does one of the people that was trying to pull Victor into the kitchen. And the would-be assassin seems a little dazed. And now let's give you your social role there.
I'm guessing presence, voice of authority.
That sounds good. I'll roll for the crowd.
Oh, God!
Right, since the crowd is incited and they saw that you had a gun, they're going to have a total of a 3. So what is your total?
Let's see here. I'm gonna spend a chip just because I don't want a minus 4. Okay.
You've got pretty good stats. You might still beat them.
No. Let's see here. That would be actually. Let's see. I'd be up here. 1, 2, 3, 4. I did succeed without doing it. They have a 3. I need to spend it. Because I got a 2. So I'll spend it and do...
You've got to do 3 points of damage to them to get them as a taken out.
Yeah, so I'm going to spend a chip and get a reroll. because...
Can't do any worse.
I gotta help those in need.
That's a good one. You're gonna need a 6 total to basically take them out of the round.
Yeah, well, you got 6 more than you got before, so it's a match.
Let's see here. 1, 2, 3, 4, I think that's an 8.
Yeah. Okay, that's enough to convince them this round.
That's an 8 total. That didn't totally win it for me?
No, it did. Okay. That's enough. Some of the people in the crowd actually vouch for you and say, that's Bishop, we know him. And so they leave you. You still have your stun gun. They didn't manage to pull it away. Well, no, one did manage to pull it away from you, but hands it back to you. So they do leave you alone, and they're all kind of heading towards see what's going on. There's this cloud of, this is where you kind of turn around and look, and there's this kind of cloud of gas going on up there.
I'm sure it is a green gas.
Okay, a green gas? All right. I'm going to cut scenes for a second.